This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. You may have received an email or saw a post on Facebook or other social media site recently about Michigan outlawing or not outlawing sodomy. Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow recently wrote about the social media buzz and the real story about Michigan's laws on such things. It's called No, a Senate Bill Does Not Ban Sodomy. Michigan long has done so. Zach Gorchow, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So the bill in question here is Senate Bill 219. What does that Senate bill actually do if it becomes law?
Well, the whole idea of it is to say that if an individual has committed certain crimes involving cruelty against animals, that then they could not own an animal for 5 years after that. That's the basic purpose of the bill. But that same the statute that they decided to put this language into also contains Michigan's 19th century era language outlawing sodomy and bestiality. And so the reason that that was done is to basically make bestiality one of these crimes that would prohibit someone from owning an animal for at least 5 years. But by including the old text, which this is what happens with bills, most bills, only a fraction of the language in them is new statute. The rest of it is long, you know, old, years, decades, maybe even over 100 years old. So because it restated long-held statute, some folks who write for some websites I've never heard of didn't really understand what was going on and took that to mean that somehow Michigan had passed a new law outlawing sodomy.
And instead what has happened is that Michigan has had a law on the books for quite a while which outlaws sodomy, correct?
That's correct. It goes back to the 19th century, but it was nullified by a 2003 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that said that state laws outlawing sodomy were illegal, specifically with regards to sex between two people of the same sex. So Michigan's law has had no force of law for almost 13 years, but it's still there on the books. Only two of the 14 states that had these laws when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled have actually taken the trouble to remove them from the books.
And one of the articles that I came across sort of poked fun at Michigan for why not take that off the books? Why leave this up there when there has been a court ruling which says that such laws are unconstitutional? And, of course, there's been a bit of a sea change in terms of how people view same-sex couples. Gay marriage is now legal. Why is this still on the books? And you get into it. Explain it to us.
It comes down to politics, in the Republican Party, which either has controlled state government or has controlled at least one house of the legislature since this Supreme Court ruling came down 13 years ago, to vote for a bill that would repeal Michigan's prohibition on sodomy would be tantamount to political suicide in the Republican primary. I mean, you still have a pretty strong majority of Republican voters who oppose gay marriage, that are not comfortable with same-sex relationships, and it would definitely cause political problems. There was an attempt less than 13 years ago to repeal this language, and it went nowhere. It was actually a Republican who circulated the effort, someone with sort of a libertarian philosophy. And, he was strongly rebuffed by other Republicans who basically said, no, this, I'd be basically ending my political career if I did this. Now, it should also note that Michigan does have a number of statutes that have been invalidated by the Supreme Court, some high-profile ones that are still there, the most notable of which is our ban on abortion. Michigan has a very old prohibition on abortion, which was nullified by Roe versus Wade. It is still on the books to this day. And it's one of the reasons why Right to Life of Michigan has always sort of said, some of anti-abortion legislators have called for, well, we should have a prohibition on abortion after 20 weeks. And Right to Life of Michigan has always said, no, we don't want that. We have a very good ban on abortion on the books. The key is to get the U.S. Supreme Court to rule differently. And I suppose I haven't talked to anybody who said this, but that could be a rationale for not touching or changing the prohibition on sodomy is, you know, maybe the U.S. Supreme Court someday could change its ruling and let's leave this on the books in case that ever happens.
Sometime last year, I did an interview with someone from the Citizens Research Council. I believe it was Craig Thiel, who was making the argument that it was time for Michigan to go back and clean up its constitution, that there were a number of things in there. Does that ever get any serious talk in the legislature that it's time to go through and look at what's in the constitution, which has been nullified or made null and void by federal court rulings, et cetera?
Don't hear a lot of that. I mean, there is something called the Michigan Law Revision Commission, which periodically publishes those kinds of recommendations. But in general, when the legislature decides to go back and repeal old laws, it's really outdated stuff. You know, things like prohibitions on dueling and things that date back to the mid-19th century that are not a political hot potato, the kind of thing that are going to get a unanimous vote. So, no, that really hasn't been discussed, especially when it comes to the Constitution, because then you're talking about having to go to the ballot to change it. Those are the kinds of things, you know, you think about, you know, there's still the limit on term limits for members of Congress for Michigan is still in the Michigan Constitution, but it's, you know, been invalidated by a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Well, to take that out, you'd actually have to amend the Constitution, which means either collecting signatures or two-thirds majorities in the legislature and then a vote of the people. And most people say, well, that's really not worth it, given it has no force of law now. It's the kind of thing it would take a constitutional convention to clean up.
One thing you note in this post is that it was State Representative Leon Drolet who tried to get the language taken out regarding the anti-sodomy law. He was one of two Republicans who voted against the gay marriage ban back in 2004. Lawrence Wienke was the other one. Both of them did face pretty strong primary challenges. But you go on to say that in the final analysis, two things have not changed: Michigan's anti-sodomy law and the idea of repealing it remaining politically taboo. Has there been a shift at all on that, given that there's been a lot of change on the issue of gay marriage? It's now legal in the United States, thanks to the Supreme Court. Is there any change at all that would seem to maybe move the ball a bit on the idea of striking this language from Michigan law?
It doesn't look that way. I mean, you know, Senator Rick Jones, who is the main sponsor of Senate Bill 219, has told a number of media outlets that if he were to deal with the anti-sodomy language in the statute, that it would basically just kill the entire bill, and he didn't want that to happen. You know, he wanted to get this done to help, you know, improve our animal, you know, anti-animal cruelty laws. So pretty clearly, he feels that it's not tenable, and there's, you know, been absolutely no movement on this. I mean, even when, you know, Democrats controlled the Michigan House from 2007 to 2010, I don't recall any discussion about trying to do this. You know, the Republicans controlled the Senate at the time, so maybe they felt like, well, it's not worth the trouble. But there's just been no sign that this is anything anybody wants to take on. I think largely because it's symbolic. And to a lot of people, it's a very important, you know, it's a very important symbol, and I don't want to diminish that. But in terms of actual force of law, nothing would change. So you're talking about potentially paying a political price for, you know, but it's not going to change anyone's lives. You know, Leon Drolet, whom you mentioned, you know, he ran for the Michigan Senate in 2010 and was just absolutely lit up by one of his Republican opponents on this issue. You know, just, you know, every, you know, just mailer after mailer on it. It was brutal. And, you know, he, you know, did not win that election. You know, really, you know, he's still very involved in politics, but, it doesn't seem like, you know, he has much opportunity to go win a Republican primary at this point.
Should also note that since that time, Leon Drolet has revealed himself to be gay. He's now openly
That's
gay.
Correct.
He was not at the time, though.
Correct. That's right.
So we are speaking on Wednesday. Last night was the New Hampshire primary. You wrote recently about looking at this presidential campaign through the lens of the GOP Mackinac Conference, which took place last year, and a number of candidates came, although not Donald Trump, but some others who were trying to make their pitch, and looking at how their campaigns have played out since then. What strikes you as the biggest change between that time on Mackinac Island to now, where we do have some actual votes cast and we've started to see the race take shape?
Well, the biggest thing is that the conference happened right in that two-week window when Carly Fiorina had this big bump. You know, she took on Donald Trump when none of the other candidates were doing so, generated a lot of excitement. And boy, when she landed on the island, it was a phenomenon. I mean, there were people jamming the streets down by the ferry docks when she came over. The fire marshal had to close off the fundraiser that her and Candace Miller were at because it was so crowded. She got this just electric response in the dining hall, unlike any of the other candidates. Candace Miller almost immediately endorsed her. You know, people were saying, you know, no matter what, she's going to be the vice president, at minimum, the vice presidential candidate. And it was kind of like, you know, it was just one moment in time, basically. You know, within a couple of weeks of that, she began this long fade. And now she's, you know, basically getting low single-digit results in the polls. You know, she finished way back in New Hampshire. You know, at the time, I don't think anybody was ready to punch her ticket to the general election, but it seemed like she was going to be a significant factor, and it's really anything but at this point.
Zach Gorchow, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gong Renew Service. One postscript to our conversation with Zach Gorchow. We discussed the presidential race and the campaign of former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina yesterday morning. Later in the day, Fiorina announced that she is suspending her campaign for president. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.